Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe the power of God is moving in this place. We thank you for your love, your goodness, for your wonderful provision. And we really praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise your glorious name. Hallelujah. Let your presence dominate everything here tonight.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to be with Ron again. Praise the Lord. And I didn't realize I'd be preaching with him and the cake was coming over, but I enjoyed it very much. Good to see you, bro. Yeah. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. First part of the story of Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. You can be always tempted to preach on that almost, you know.
Yeah.
But it's verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he said to the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? That's interesting, isn't it? Didn't have words of knowledge about everything, did he, Jesus? You have to ask the question. That's the thing we need to remember. Some people expect you to know everything in the prophet. But it's important to realize even Jesus had to ask the question, how long is it been like this? He got words of knowledge when it was necessary. Amen? But he asked questions also. Important, isn't it? And he said of a child, and oft times he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, if you can help me, Jesus said, if you can believe. Amen. How's your faith?
Yeah.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Mm. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth, but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And it adds in Matthew, because of your unbelief. Because if you believed, he said, nothing would be impossible to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of cases in the Bible where people, everything else they tried and failed, you know, and as we look at the scriptures, sometimes we feel like that. Where can I go for help now? What is the answer to my problem now? Isn't that true? There's a lot of people in the world who are crying out like that tonight, isn't there? A lot of people out there in pain, in distress, and in fear. And sometimes, when they come to the disciples, they find out there's not all that much to offer sometimes. Isn't that true? There's not the answer to the problem. But I want to say this, that Jesus is always the same when his disciples fail. Amen? That he wants to meet people's need when his disciples fail. You see in Mark 13, verse 10 to 17, the woman there, with a spirit of infirmity. 18 years she'd been suffering. That's an awful long time to go into the house of God praying for help, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she'd been going praying for 18 years. God, please do something for me. Now, was God deaf? As Brother said, no, his provision's sure.
Yeah.
Amen. God's provision's there, without a doubt. He cannot deny himself. But the people of God are into problems. So often the world judges the character of God. It judges the character of God by the fact that the people of God fail to meet the need. In fact, Paul says in Romans, because of the lives of the Jews, the name of God was blasphemed among the heathen. Instead of it being a light to the world, the darkness went out because of the bad living of the Jews. 18 years of the spirit of infirmity. And I want to tell you here, friends, the spirit of infirmity doesn't mean the demon was possessed. Notice, he didn't cast the demon out of that woman. You see, people say, well, when he met a demon, he always cast it out. But he laid his hands on her and healed her. And people say, well, the spirit of infirmity, surely there's a demon in there. That was the same kind of thing that happened to Job. Was there a demon in Job when he got sick physically? And the answer is no way. You see, but a spirit had injected energy into that body that had made it ill. And it was the energy from an evil spirit that touched the body that had made that woman bound for all those years. We need to get a theology right. Amen? And the power of God that came through Jesus pushed out that defiled spirit. I remember I laid hands on one person on one occasion. He was a spiritualist. And I saw like white smoke coming out of him for yards round him. He wasn't demon-possessed, but he'd been in those meetings so long, his body was so full of defiled spirit, it was pretty impossible for him to believe anything but the rubbish he was hearing there. And this is what Satan can do sometimes. He gets permission, as with Job, to hit the bodies of Christians. Doesn't he? Like he did Job, very occasionally. That's a very rare thing. But we've got to make sure we get the answer. Amen? And make sure that we pray for the right way for people with that kind of problem. Yes. The woman here with an issue of blood in Matthew 9, verse 18 to 22. It says 12 years she'd had an issue of blood. Now, you know what that meant among the Jews? You couldn't go and worship God for 12 years among the people of God. It meant that she couldn't enter into the worship either in the temple or in the synagogue. Because a menstruous woman could not go into the presence of the, I suppose it was a thing in those days. It wasn't saying that women were dirty. I suppose they haven't got all the modern equipment that people have today and deodorants and all like that. And I suppose if you get an awful lot of people in very hot countries going into the worship of God, the smell would be too much to stop it. And God says, no, we can't have that. It wasn't that God was despising women. Some people have taken that kind of idea into their heads. It's quite foolish. It was just a matter of etiquette so that people could worship without distraction. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, there was a woman who was banned from worship for 12 years, and she'd been longing to get into among the people of God. How much she had prayed. This was the daughter of Abram, Jesus said. But was he saying that because there was some real faith in her heart? It's quite possible. Not just a child of the flesh, but perhaps a child of the promise too. Perhaps her heart was full of faith. Amen? But you see, it's one thing to have faith that God will do something or can do something. It's quite another thing to have the ministry to believe that it'll happen. Are you with me? It's quite another thing to have, say, the prayer of faith that brings the power of God into a situation. Right, you can get healed yourself. Amen? But it says, call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, what's that? Is it your prayer? No, it's their prayer. God puts the responsibility of praying the prayer of faith for the sick on the leaders of the church, isn't he, brother? It's a bit of a fearsome responsibility, isn't it? Amen. Who wants to be an elder? You see, that's why ministers who just preach the gospel, who are supposed to be pastors and elders, and they don't pray for the sick and see them healed, are pretenders. Because early church elders, who were pastors, who were teachers, who were overseers, bishops, they were intended to be able to, that was one of the essential qualifications of ministry, that you persevered enough to pray through for the sick. My oh my, I wonder how many people would be disqualified today in Northern Ireland if they were put to that test, an essential New Testament test to be a leader of God's people. My oh my. It's there in the book, isn't it? You see, and I want to tell you today that people are coming to churches with a lot of burdens, and there's no power. There's pretty sermons, nice in singing, but no power to set people free. And it says, do not be many teachers, brethren, knowing you should receive heavy judgment. Because God's going to ask people why they didn't fulfill his word. If you're an elder or an overseer or pastor or teacher and you don't pray through for the sick to see them healed, you are in trouble. You've lost your crown. You certainly don't get a well done. You can't leave out those kind of essential qualifications. God says he insists on the leadership in his church. How about that? You're looking surprised at me. Make no mistake about it. It's quite true. Now, James should have known what he was talking about, didn't he? Wasn't he the person who lived with Jesus for 30 years? He should know it, shouldn't he? Where did he get the inspiration to like write words like? Do you know, it says James had knees like camel's knees. He prayed so much, his knees became hard, just like the knees of a camel. Now that's the one of the things we learn from church history. Now where did he learn to get camel's knees? From watching Jesus. Who was he imitating? He gave himself to prayer and fasting, it says of our Lord. That was to my reproach. He says, I became a stranger to my brethren and alien to my mother's children. Because the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, Psalm 69, verse 7 to 21. And if you read it up, you find out that his own family turned against him because of his prayer life, because of his fasting. He saw it. He saw his seeking after God. And when his brothers and sisters turned against him, four brothers and at least three sisters, that was to his reproach. They reproached him, Song of the Drunkards. They that sat at the gate, the leaders of Bethlehem made fun of him. The drunkards went and sang filthy songs about him. Now, but James remembered. And when Jesus appeared to him after his resurrection, he says, but neither did his brethren believe in him, John 7 verse 5. And they said he was insane, in Mark chapter 3 verse 21. So what turned him round? The visit of the risen Christ. And then he did. He started imitating his half-brother. Amen. You see, and when you read James, Luther said it was an epistle of straw. My, oh my. There's some tremendous truth there. When you read it and see that everything he said, he was thinking about Jesus, it becomes full of Christ, the epistle of James does. What is that perfect man that controls his tongue? Says the same as a perfect man. Says I lived with him for 30 years. Amen. You see? He says, and when we treated him like an alien, a stranger from an outer space, he says his tongue was always under control. When people reviled him, always under control. He says, but my is prayer life. He says, we got to pray like Elijah. Amen, prayed. Right. How did Elijah pray, James said? How did he get the provision for the sick? Because that's what you're talking about. It says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Didn't he? Would you be praying earnestly that it might not rain? That's a very difficult thing to do. to go along and pray earnestly that you're going to see the dead bodies of thousands of people because of you praying that kind of prayer. That takes some strength of character. God says it's the only way to bring this nation back to me is to have 3.5 years without any rain. The animals and a lot of people are going to die. Remember when he got to Zarephath? After 18 months, another 2 years to go, the widow was saying, we're going to eat our last meal and then we're going to die. Do you think she was the only one who was dying in Zarephath? And as he was there at Zarephath for another 2 years, there was cries and funerals going on all the time because of his word. How would you like to have a word like that? That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? But better than Baal worship and throwing thousands of little kiddies into the flames every year. The newly born babies that were born as their immoral feasts, they sacrificed them to Baal, beautiful little children thrown into raging fires. Every house founded on a human sacrifice. The murder of the innocents, what Herod did once, they did all the time. God says you've got to stamp this out. There's only one way. You've got to pray for it. I am not. When he went to Zarephath, the bleached bones of men, women and children in the fields, the animals dead. There should be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Revelation chapter 11 tells us that for the last 3.5 years of this age, the two witnesses are going to do the same thing to Israel again. And in the last 3.5 years of this age, Israel is going to have the same thing happen to them. Through the years of their prophecy, there should be no dew nor rain on Israel. Everybody's wanting people to go back. You see, you should remember what's going to happen too. The time of Jacob's trouble. An army of 200 million coming in from the kings of the east to fight in Israel. Blood to the horses, bridles for 200 miles. And not the very place that Jesus said when these things start to happen, if you're outside the land, don't go into it. And if you're in the land, get out of it. That's what he said. And I think that's the side we need to think about, isn't it? Amen? But look, how many people come along to the church? And because people do not follow out what James said, you pray earnestly that it might rain. He sent the young man 7 times. He says, I hear a sound of abundance of rain. It's coming down. Wonderful. I've had a vision. It's going to rain. Praise God, it's going to rain. We can just sit back now and it's going to rain. Oh no. You see, sometimes when we have a vision in the meeting, say, somebody come out and I've had a vision of this, and they come out and they're not healed, they wonder why. Because we don't follow the next thing that Elijah did. He got down on his knees and prayed 7 times until the vision became a reality. The vision is the encouragement to carry on in the right way. Amen? That God's going to do it. But the answer is if we pray through for it often, there's the human responsibility as well as the divine encouragement. Amen? And so he got down on his knees and prayed 7 times, and the young man said unto him, and he said the 7th time, I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. See, it's the praying through. And this was the problem with the disciples. Jesus said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. He says, you can't get on top of some demons, or of some sicknesses, or of some needs, unless you're really prayed up to the hilt, unless you're disciplining your body by missing your grub out. Amen? You've got to fast, self-discipline and pray. Amen. Go and believe God. That puts the faith on the person who's been prayed for. Jesus didn't say the problem was in the boy's faith or in the father's faith. He said it was in the apostle's faith. Amen. Are you with me? And the need is to get to that place where we're so in touch with God that, like Jesus, everybody who came, the apostles could dominate the situation completely with the power of God and with the certainty of their faith. Amen? And after Pentecost, it happened. They healed everybody that came to them. Here they missed it. But after that consistent prayer, that revelation of Jesus, amen, coming to them for 40 days, the praise and the worshipping, there's really no secret why people are not healed. We don't follow James 5 out. Amen? We don't follow Matthew 17 verse 19 to 21. This kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And the determination to pray through. Amen? A survey was done of evangelical ministers. And you know what the average time they spent in prayer each day? 3 minutes. 3 minutes. They couldn't believe for a sneeze of that, could they? They couldn't. They got a cold, they couldn't believe for that. Imagine, I find it's more difficult to get rid of colds than cancer. Yeah. People get rid of better of colds when you come along and a person's dying of cancer. And we had a few folks in here, haven't we? Yeah. You know, who've been wonderfully healed by Jesus in that respect, haven't they? Yeah. The people in Northern Ireland have been wonderfully healed. Last stages, we went to pray, Keith Gurdon and myself went to pray for a lady in the hospital. Less than 2% chance of living. And that's what they said to the husband. So there wasn't much hope, was there? Heart, lung and brain damage. Thought she possibly was the vegetable which had heart and lung damage. So he went in and prayed, and she was unconscious. Lord said to me, well, she's under the influence of drugs, so she won't come around now. I thought, well, fair enough. So we prayed. We felt the power of God. Later on, she came round in the day. Do you know the doctors were talking about that in hospitals as far out as Ballymena? And that was in the Ulster Hospital. Her sister told me that her doctor in the Royal Hospital explained, you must have a mighty God for that woman to come out of hospital. They obviously thought something wonderful had happened. If he goes buzzing round all hospitals out as far as Ballymena about this miracle among the doctors, that's something quite remarkable, isn't it? Amen? It certainly upset them when my mother-in-law was raised from the dead in the hospital, when the doctors had certified her death. That gave the lady an awful shock. Amen? That couldn't have happened! That couldn't have happened! That couldn't have happened! But it had. Amen. Praise God. He's alive, isn't he? You know, we've really got to believe, haven't we? And do this kind of thing. Jairus. Amen. We better move on. Praying through, though. Imitating James. Camel knees. Imitating Elijah. Well, the downpour comes. Praying through until we get a word from God. Willie Burton came up to the countryside to see me on one occasion. He'd read my book on the second coming. He said, I've read your excellent book. I want to meet the author. The man had set up around 1,000 churches in Congo and 100,000 Christians. And they used to go into the villages there and used to dance around them saying, God has sent us our dinner today. And they meant them. that's one thing, isn't it? You know, and I said to him, I said, Billy, I said, Mr. Burns, I says, how is it? We've got to have a word from God. Amen? Look at Alan's little wife. Amen? You know, it's a wonderful miracle, that. The doctor said she was a vegetable. And that was it. She was as good as dead. Wasn't that true, brother? See, but he kept on believing, he kept holding on in faith. And then John had the prayer meeting. People were coming till, what was it, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock in the morning. People you didn't even know, weren't they? They're saying, his little wife's at home now. And the doctors were hitting the desk and trying to pound some sense into his head. Jesus is going to heal her. Amen. She's going to walk out of this hospital. Amen. You know, we just have to hold on. We have to keep praying through. Amen?
Mm.
Till the answers come to the full. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is this all right, folks?
Yeah.
Praise God. You see, a too many prayer at the end of the service is not praying for the sick. Right, you can get healed in 2 minutes. I've had quite a few miracles. Only prayed a few minutes. But the responsibility of really praying through for people is there. So don't you feel that you've missed it because you've been prayed for by one or two people just for a minute or two. I like to pray for really difficult cases. I like to spend an hour praying for folks. Amen? I remember one occasion we prayed in Tom and Jean's for that Flossie, was it? Molly, that's right, sorry. Molly, she was really poorly, wasn't she? She'd had cancer, hadn't she? I think come back again, wasn't it? And inoperable. And we got down and started to pray for her. And we prayed, we put on Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring. I said, turn it up full volume, Tom, you know, turn it real loud. And we prayed and prayed. Tom and Jean and myself and there was a hubby there. But we prayed anyway. And I could see her body glowing yellow all the way through. Well, I don't think she's had any more trouble, has she? The Lord healed her. And you know, this whole business of taking the time to pray through. Now here when we see in Mark, when they came down from the mountain, it says, the people when they met Jesus were sore amazed. The word is ekphambio, and it means they were filled with terror and amazement. Now why were they filled with terror and amazement when they saw Jesus? The answer is that his face was shining. Amen. Just as when Moses came down from the mount. The glory of God and the transfigured Jesus. Right, a lot of the glory had gone, but there was still a majesty and glory of the effects of the transfiguration in the mount. He had no problem dealing with that demon. When you get close to God, you don't either. When you get into the presence of the Lord, you don't either. Amen? It's as easy as anything. I remember when I prayed for Tom Edgerton in the Methodist Church in Leek. Chapel in Leek. Oh, you don't call them chapels. It's the church, isn't it, over here? We call them chapels in England and you call them churches over here. Methodist chapel. People thought I was talking about a Catholic Methodist church. Over here. But it's the normal Methodist place, you know, and we just prayed a brief prayer for him 15 years before he lost his sight in one of his eyes. Just like that, he came back. The doctor said he'd never see again. As easy as could be. Amen? You know, when you really get prayed up, it happens as simple as anything. Amen? When you get to enter the presence of God. Praise God. That word ekphambio, by the way, is used of our Lord in Gethsemane. In Mark 14:33, when it says he was filled with terror and amazement because of the suffering, the pain of redemption. That's interesting, isn't it? Filled with terror and amazement. Yeah. Right, I'm meant to go on now, folks. Praise the Lord. So the disciples failed, but Jesus did it. And I think it's very important to get this into our minds. When disciples fail, the intentions of Jesus are always the same. Amen? When the church fails to pray through, the intentions of Jesus are always the same. When the church fails to portray the full delivering power of Christ, the Savior's intentions are always the same. Amen? We've got to say, well, Lord, we've got to make up the difference between what we say in our theology and what we bring into experience in our theology. And there's only one way to get into the presence of the Lord. Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Is this okay, is it, folks?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, And to another, come and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, the many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now here's a remarkable thing. Centurion outside the covenant of Israel. And Jesus said to him, I have not found so great faith as not in all Israel. Now that included the apostolic band. Are you with me? That included the apostolic band. I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. You see, Jesus had said, I'll come and heal. So we don't have to bother about it. You just send one of those angels that's round there. And, you know, you just give, I order my men to go and they go, and when I receive what does I do as I'm told, I'm not worthy. There was real humility there. Amen. He came and worshipped Jesus. There was true worship. And there was tremendous faith. He says, you don't have to come, though. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, just say the word. Now, when you turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 20 to 24, our Lord was trying to, much later on, educate the disciples that now they could just say the word and it would happen. That was much later on. He was a man who was outside the apostolic band, but he got a principle of faith that the apostles hadn't even got. That he only had to say the word and it was done. Just say it. You don't have to lay hands. You don't have to come. You speak to the mountain, Jesus said. Come on, learn this way of faith. The centurion was there years ahead of the apostles. You say, well, why is that? Now, in the case of the Syrophoenician, let's just turn to that. We'll go back to the centurion in a minute. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now he was another one outside the covenants of promise. Even more so than the centurion, because she was a Canaanite. God had said, kill every Canaanite you see. They were totally given over to immorality. Like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were totally given over to evil. God said to the people in Jericho, don't let even the man, woman, not even the children live. They're so diseased. You can't let any of them come into Israel. And if you get any cloth from them, Achan's house was destroyed because they got one cloth. The wonder is that Rahab got in. And that with her bad life, being a prostitute, how did she get in when she got all the problems that God was killing all the other people off for? And the answer was, because when she got saved, she got healed. Amen. I was in the house and that brother was telling us how he'd prayed to breakfast in Tom and Jean's, how he'd prayed for somebody with AIDS and the AIDS had disappeared. Proved AIDS case. Isn't that wonderful? Well, the same kind of thing happened with Rahab. The diseases that were in her were destroyed by the power of God when she came into among the people of God. Isn't it good when you get among the people of God and get saved, you can expect germs to be disintegrated? Amen? I've seen it happen. Amen? Praise God. Great is your faith. A Canaanite excluded forever. When she came to Jesus, you were silent. Sometimes when the Lord don't talk to us a bit, we sort of go and get in a huff. Why don't you answer my prayers, God? You know, people get in huffs with the Lord. A bit like Mary did when she wouldn't come out to meet Jesus when Lazarus had died. She got in a bit of a huff. Sulk. I'm not coming out. Why weren't you here? The one who was so full of faith and wanted to sit at his feet wasn't so full of faith on that occasion. Martha did much better. The Master's calling for you. Come on. She felt she couldn't go and face it. My, oh my. But here was a woman who, when Jesus was silent, didn't take a note. When she went to the disciples pushed her off. Send her away. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That would have put a lot of people off, wouldn't it? Ah. She says, I'm coming to you. Then he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now, I don't know if you know the words in the Greek. The Greek words are interesting. If you ever put an I in a word, like daughter, thugaron, that means daughter. If you put an I in thugarion, it makes it dear little daughter. And it says here, her dear little daughter was sick. You see? Just she's very precious to me. You see, and when Jesus used the words, not meet to give it unto the dogs, he didn't say canaron, a wretched foul barking animal. I saw two today. Rottweilers guarding a scrapyard. I was getting some stuff for a job for... So, dear me. I wouldn't call those canarions, my God. They were absolutely violent animals. But then Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bed and give it to the pet little pooches. We've got two dogs at home. Oh, believe you me. And if Pauline sometimes gives me a drink of Horlicks at night, she's just got to beat it up. And little Bob comes and sits down by the side of me, our cross-border collie, and he's wriggling in anticipation with his bottom on the floor. And his little eyes are looking like this, you know. And you know what he's waiting for? A digested biscuit broken in two, dipped in the Horlicks, and half each given to each of the dogs. And you'll slip, slop, and down it goes. Dear me. Little wretches. They think I've given them three halves or four halves, and they're standing there saying, with a wretched little eyes, you can't deny me, can you? The only way to do it is not to look at them. It's like I went into a pet shop on one occasion, and there was this little Jack Russell there. Oh, and it was the most winning little one. And it looked at me with eyes like that. And I tore myself away, and Pauline said, it nearly got you, didn't it, Billy? It was claiming me. And you know, when Jesus was saying, you're a pet little pooch, I just thought, got it! You know, those pet little pooches, you don't have to wait till the children have been fed. Crumbs got accidentally dropped from the table. I bet you've all done it to your dogs, haven't you? You know? Oh, dear. A pet little pooch. Woman, great is your faith. She'd gone through one obstacle after another. And she'd come from outside the covenant of promise. But what was it that drove her like that? Not a desire, I'd like to see God manifest the gifts of the Spirit. It was, I love my dear little daughter. Love can drive you to get the gifts of God operating in the life where nothing else can. And here was a woman who'd come because she loved her child. And it's interesting, it says the centurion, now this beloved servant, is called, it's got the I in there, the beloved, dear servant. How about that? The diminutive is in the tendons. Now, I'm asking a question in my mind here. Why was it that Jesus said to this Canaanite woman and to the centurion, you've got great faith? He said to Peter, oh, ye of little faith. Now, why was it that Peter got less faith than the Syrophoenician? And why was it that he got less faith than the centurion? And the answer is, because they weren't cluttered up with Jewish tradition. You know, he said in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, it's their hearts were hardened because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And the word for hardened is poros. Their hearts were like slabs of marble, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Apostles with hearts like slabs of marble. What's that? And still doing some miracles, yeah. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, Jesus said, beware of the leaven of Herod, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Are ye still hardened? Are ye still hardened? You see, if you believe what the scribes and Pharisees say, you can get hardened inside. And they'd gone into the synagogue over the years, and in their spirits they'd accumulated many of the traditions of the Jews. Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you yet, but you can't bear them. You know, a lot of those traditions you think are wonderful have got to go. Those prophecies which you think about the Messiah, which you apply to his first coming, are really applying to his second coming. And he told them that. And they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. Because they preferred to believe the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees on the Messiah rather than the words of Jesus. So they got the leaven inside them operating. I'm very careful who I listen to. You can get so used to listening to some preachers, you get poisoned without knowing it. If you go into churches that all the time are not having one miracle from one year's end to another, you begin to think that that is the kind of thing that God usually does. Some Pentecostal churches are as dead, as dead, as dead. They can hand clap and sing choruses, but they have nothing really operating in the deeper realms of the Spirit at all. And I went into one church in the Potteries and used to sit at the back. I've done this for many years. And the Lord lets me hear the thoughts of people and the problems as I sit there. And for years in this church, I was going to the members just during the service and telling them what their problems were and what the thoughts were. The pastor didn't know what was going on. And when I told him about it, he said, that was as much as what he thought about it. And I went to another church, and one of the pastors there knew about my ministry. And I went into a house one day, and a nurse came in. Her name was Angela, dear friend of ours, you know. And she sat in the chair in this pastor's house. And for a quarter of an hour, I carried a conversation on with her thoughts without hardly saying a word. Isn't that interesting? And she sat there in the chair for a quarter of an hour. And the pastor's wife was quite astonished. And when they'd gone, she said to her husband, I didn't know Bill had got that kind of ministry, but he knew. He'd seen it in operation so many times. The meetings were so full of the leaven, of the non-Pentecostal leaven. I had to do like Jesus did at Nazareth. He used to sit at the back of the synagogue for 30 years. He was getting revelation after revelation after revelation. Our Lord's supernatural ministry didn't just start taking place at Jordan. That was when his open ministry began. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Mary was seeing it happen all the time. What was happening? Jesus was operating a colossal prayer ministry in Nazareth for 30 years before it ever was manifested. Believe you me, he was touching people all over the world with the power of God in a prayer ministry. If you don't do that first, in prophetic ministry, you never get a real prophetic ministry. If it doesn't operate in private, it'll never operate at all. I'll tell you. Oh, our Lord, the 30 years have been getting into the depths of delivering people before he ever came out. And he had this wonderful thing, woman, great is your faith. It's amazing where you meet it at times. I've been surprised this week, I thought, well, it's astonishing. Some people who even have no time for the church have got more operating them from God than most people do. It's a fact. Some of our churches absolutely kill the faith of the people in them. And there's so much to unlearn when they come for prayer that it's difficult at times to minister them. But Jesus did it into a people dominated by wrong tradition, stupidity, stupid, sometimes evil laws. He healed the multitudes. He healed them, everyone. He got on top of their wrong tradition. That's the thing God wants us to do. Amen? He wants us to operate on that level. So that, as Brother was saying, we have the full provision. We have the full gospel. Amen. We have a full salvation to offer to people. And like this boy, they're healed. Amen. We've got it on offer tonight. Here tonight, Jesus wants to heal everybody. Amen. He doesn't want a hit and miss church. He wants a church that operates in power to set everybody free. And we need that top class apostolic ministry that comes along, heals the sick and raises the dead. I thought it's rather interesting, Victor, when I came over last time, he'd raised 8 people from the dead. It is now up to 10. Isn't that wonderful? That Pentecostal Archbishop and Nigeria raised 10 people from the dead. He got saved actually by dying. He died, went on to the other side, met Jesus, and the Lord said, I want you to go back and preach. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? I know 2 people who have this happen to. Oh, imagine my mother-in-law got saved when she died. She came back and started to follow the Lord. So that's 3 that I know of. Amen? Isn't that fascinating? 10 people raised from the dead. He looks after 2 million people. Wow. Superintends 2 million people.
He's coming here next month.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you the date before you go.
Good, yeah. So come see a fellow who's raised 10 people from the dead. Amen? I'm going to finish now. I've carried on long enough. When everybody else fails, Jesus is the same. Amen? And we've got to press through till we get those answers. Amen. In the body of Christ, we've got to really go through. I've talked long enough. We'll finish now. We're going to have a time of prayer, shall we? And praise. Okay? Okay, bro, carry on.
Sunday night last, we were praying for how we would like God to move in our meetings. And we wanted to hear from God about healing. Because there were so many questions in our minds. Why are they all not being healed? And somebody said, well, we'll ask Bill to speak to us about that. I said, no, we'll not ask Bill. We'll ask the Lord and let the Lord reveal to Bill that that's what we want him to talk about.
Amen.
And there's an answer. So a prayer of faith Sunday week ago, a few of us met with the result of the sermon tonight.
That's interesting, because actually, I just want to tell you, I wrote this down as I sat in the meeting. Because I've got sermons on different aspects that I've talked about tonight. But every point that I've gone through on the sermon here, the Lord told my wife in England too and told me separately. Isn't that interesting? So I rang her up tonight and said, darling, I've got to talk on this. And yes, brother, that's right. She got every point that I've made down here. The Lord told her in England that I've got to speak on tonight. And he told me over here, and I just rang to confirm it before I came out. It's an interesting way of getting service, yeah, isn't it?
So we know that we have heard from God tonight.
That's right,
no,
yes.
No question, no doubt about that's that. Right, yeah. We've heard from God, that sermon is from God tonight. And accept it, ask from Him. Because that's how it was prayed in vain.
I rather like to hear things like that. You see, wouldn't let me know that's the way to do it, you see. The thing is to go to the head of the church and then he starts speaking through the body. Not to go to the heads of the church. Amen. Thank you very much, brother. Lovely.
Let's pray. Let's sing and pray. Let's have our old favourite, have the deal.
Amen. Anybody who wants prayer, come out for prayer. Or if you want to pray, put your hand up and pray.